Okay, welcome to Creating Cash Flow for June 5th, 2022. And yes, so I'm Miata, obviously, but I am going to be doing the cash flow coaching for the month of June. And I'm actually incredibly excited about this because building businesses is just something that I have such a tremendous passion about. And I get so kind of giddy over, ooh, what can we do? What strategies can we put in place? So this is a real treat for me. But yes, it's just you and I at this moment, Sarah. So I don't know whether you were coming to work on something in particular, but what can we talk about? Oh, hey, great. We have Kate back. Let's see, Kate, can you hear us? No, maybe Kate. Can you hear us, Kate?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, and we can hear you. Perfect. We have success. We have success. So I was just filling Sarah in that I will be covering cash flow for the month of June, and we're going to dive in. Sarah, what I'm going to ask you and ask everybody, we'll see who else joins us today, is if you wouldn't mind starting by saying, you know, you're a cash flow cat, kitten, just because I'm not up to speed on exactly where everybody is. So we'll have that as a place to start.
Well, I'm a cash flow kitten. I was coming to listen tonight. So, but since I have you here, I've been actually sort of putting, so I've been doing the stocks thing, a bit, but, I've kind of put it a little bit on hiatus because, I've been incredibly busy. I just had some life stuff happen. And then, my job, I've been, like to briefly summarize, I was in one job and then I applied for another job and got a lot more money, which was awesome. And then randomly, like this other job that I had previously applied for reached out for an interview that I had really wanted, but it was sort of felt like a moonshot. And I was like, well, I might as well just go to the interview. And then I ended up getting that job. So I'm like, I just left this like second middle job.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you were there for a very short period of time.
3 weeks.
You were there for 3 weeks. And
I've
so,
never done that before.
Yes. And so that in itself, I feel like is something that everyone can learn something from, because we have a tendency to feel like these decisions are forever. Yeah. And obviously it isn't that you in any way set out to not honor a commitment or anything like that, but an opportunity that you had wanted for a while came your way. And so I'm wondering, can you share how has that experience been of taking a job and then 3 weeks later heading off? So I assume you sort of notified them almost immediately after taking the new job.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually, this would be great to talk about because it brought up a bunch of feelings that I think like affect my return on my investment in myself, you mm-hmm. know, like my salary and stuff. So I started the job. Well, the first day of my job, actually my manager who I was supposed to work with quit. And then you know, they, and then, like the next week. And now I was also kind of like in the middle of like this really intensive interview process for like this the final job. Right. And, I was trying to get them to give me an offer because I could see the interviews were actually going really well. And I was like, I cannot believe this. And then like, I just kept like going from one bucky bar to the other. I was like, okay, okay, I'll go to the next. And then I was trying to like get them to give me the offer though before my first start day, because I just really wanted that to happen. And because I felt guilty. I think part of it is like healthy guilt in terms of I felt bad about the situation, but then also like I really couldn't have prevented, like it's not like I was like got the job, took the offer, and then like kept like I had already applied. So
absolutely.
Yeah. But and then like the following week, another strategist at the middle firm also quit. And so, I think like I was about to get the offer. I could feel the offer coming too, you mm-hmm. know, I was like, and then like the, that Friday I got the offer, and it was like the same week that second person had quit. And then I actually, this is good to talk about because it sort of like the firm I was at unraveled a little bit. mm-hmm. And the department I worked in had like 5 people. So like including me. And so 2 of them quit. And then, I'm like, and then I got the offer on the Friday, but my manager was on vacation through Tuesday. So I decided not to give my notice until like that Tuesday. I mean, I didn't really know what to do, but mm-hmm. I did. Well, and you know, my original manager was like no longer there anyway. And so then I told him on Tuesday, and he was relatively professional, but like for the rest of my time there. So I quit in my 3rd week, and then this week was my last week. So I was there for a total of 6 weeks, but like,
got it.
You know, I worked really hard. I tried really hard to like put stuff in place, but, then, he would make like kind of little like passive aggressive comments, and then I just blew them off like, externally, internally, it brought up feelings, but, mm-hmm. and then he told me that they were going to have to let go of all of my clients. So they like lost clients. So I felt bad about that. And I kept, just telling myself, like, if there is somebody who just started, like who's only there for 3 weeks and quit, and that causes you to lose clients, like that's a problem with your business.
Yes.
Not like, you know, that's not my fault, but I have to like say that out loud every time, cuz I'm yes. like, it's my fault. I feel so bad. And I'm glad I, you know, cuz of Abundance Bound and this program, I feel like I really was able to like just do what was best for me. Mm-hmm. And not give in to like, oh my God, like I better hold up this whole company on my little shoulders. Like,
right.
So, but then like by this past Friday, they still hadn't even told I had 3 clients, and they hadn't told 2 of them that I was leaving. They still don't know. Wow. And, that also kind of felt bad, cause then I was like, in my head, like, oh, they're going to think I got fired or something, you know, and I just have to like, let it go. Like, I don't know, but that's kind of, yeah, I would love to hear what you have to say about that, because it was brought up a lot.
Yeah, it brings up a lot. You know, this is so interesting, because I feel like there are a number of different levels here that could be examined and kind of that we could dive into. The one that is foremost for me, Sarah, is the way that, and I don't believe this is an accident. I believe this is about how you have been showing up to your career, to your growth, to the roles that you're playing, both as an employee, but also as you've grown as an entrepreneur and a business person, yes, building those muscles. You were very taken care of in the fact that it seems pretty clear company number two has an enormous number of issues that you were going into. So what I find really fascinating here is the way that you were protected. And again, I don't believe that that's an accident, but you have a company who made a financial offer that was significantly higher than where you had been. Where you had been, definitely based on what I know about the story, there were some issues, but you were also fairly comfortable there, would you say? Right?
Yes,
you were definitely comfortable. Yeah. And you
huge
were
step up from where I had come from before.
Exactly.
There.
And you were being given opportunities to grow. And then you really entered this phase of knowing and understanding what you're worth and saying, I can and should be receiving more for the work that I am doing. This company comes and makes this offer to you that is significantly more, which reinforces your confidence that, yes, this is what I should be earning. You had put in an application for this other position that you said for you felt like a moonshot, I think was how you described it. It was like, oh yes, I'll just go for it, but you know, very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
And this second company that served an important role of saying, yes, you are worth more in terms of the work that you're doing, they were also very clearly not the home for you.
Yeah.
And the minute, I know I've had this experience in my past when I was working for different companies where within my first 2 weeks of being there, the quitting, it was like there was so much quitting happening. And you start to realize, oh, wow, I've entered an extremely unstable environment. So I really want to celebrate what I think is absolutely accurate when you say, if an employee who has been here for 3 weeks, if that employee's moving on means that they are losing clients, you can have all the empathy in the world for what they are going through, but that has nothing to do with you and your trajectory. Absolutely nothing, except to make it even clearer that this is not your place. And I think that the other pieces, the snide kind of backhanded comments from the manager, who, by the way, wasn't the manager just 2 weeks ago, but now is the manager because someone quit. The concern that you have about how your clients, what their perception will be of you and why you are no longer there. This to me is, these are examples of the muscles that we are just always building. We're building them as employees. We're building them as business owners. We're building the muscles of really recognizing what is actually my business, right? It feels like it's our business, what other people say about us and what other people think, the opinions that they form. It feels like it's our business because we take these things personally. I am going to say that I believe that, especially as women, we have been raised to have a lot of stories about it being our role to make sure that we are approved of, to make sure that we are liked. That is how we are often determining what our value is. And so these are all, especially as someone who's gotten to observe your growth over just these kind of 6 months of 2022, it's like, yes, Sarah, keep strengthening those muscles, keep recognizing that making the choices that makes sense for where you are headed. It doesn't make you a bitch. It doesn't make you uncaring about other people's situations. It doesn't make you irresponsible. It doesn't even mean, oh yeah, I'm looking after me, right? It simply is, what is your business and where are you able to do the best work and be of service in the best ways using your skills and talents. And it seems to me that we got many messages that this company was not going to be that place.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, because that's something I'm working on right now about what's, like, it's none of my business. I have this like meddling tendency, like that I focus on not acting upon, but it's still like inside me, like, yes. Oh, like, let me just give you this suggestion, like, yes. And you'll fix it. You know, and it's like, no, they're not asking. And it's not my business, but it's also like literally not my business. I don't work for them as of Friday at 5 PM. Like, you know, so another thing I really, you know, it's been weird making like the career shift from like total artistry into like sort of bit the business world. Mm-hmm. But I've really enjoyed it because it's like, I can, in a way that I didn't when I was a playwright, but like, oh, that's not my business. And that it's not like, I'm not being, you know, a jerk. It's just, it's not personal. And I was never able to do that in theater. Like everything was so personal, yeah. You know, but like in business, like it's, yeah, there is like a big part of me that I'm working on developing to not like take, like not feel bad for them, you know, and I do have the empathy though, you know, I do, yes. But also like what you're saying, it's really, it's not any of my business what they are doing.
And it's an interesting thing for all of us to work on strengthening, right? That this isn't about becoming a cold person. I love what you said when you said, I have empathy. So it really is building, strengthening that muscle of saying, I can absolutely feel for what someone, an individual or an entity, a company, what they are going through.
Yeah.
I can feel that for them. I can also always learn from observing, what would I do here differently.
Oh, yeah.
It is an opportunity for you to say, huh, in his shoes, I've sort of, there were five people on this team. I've seen two of them go already. Now there's another, there's a third who's about to go. He, I don't know whether he was a leader before of a different group or whether he's now essentially been promoted into leadership because of the people who have moved
on. He was
on.
Sort of, he was like the vice president. And so he was sort of like the Uber leader. And then the director is the one who quit. So she would have been the person I was working under. So he was sort of,
And so again, such a powerful learning experience because he as Uber leader, right? When I think about organizations and organizations that are struggling, he as Uber leader was depending upon the managers.
Yeah.
And now he has to own what actually was always his to own, which is that how he is leading this level is then how that level leads this level, right? And so now he has to really step into what are the holes and weaknesses and challenges facing our company? And he doesn't get to sort of just keep replacing managers. It may be what he does, but he doesn't just get to keep replacing. He has to really examine what's going wrong that is causing this collapse below me. Because ultimately, I'm the one who has to solve that, right?
Right.
And so it also, these things give us the opportunity to say, what would I do differently? I spent 8 years, not as an employee, but with a contract for quite a large organization, a nonprofit. And I was extremely troubled by much of what I saw in terms of how the organization ran. But I could, and trust me, sometimes I did, spend an enormous amount of energy over like, what are they doing? And why would they do this? But what it actually served for me, the way that it was powerful, was it had me say, yeah, so how are you going to make sure you run a company very differently? Because it didn't happen by accident, all the problems. It happened by long periods of time of no one claiming accountability and purposefully deciding how this organization was going to grow and develop. And as someone with certainly a smaller company, but a company nonetheless, you can see how you can, by not making decisions, project yourself forward 20 years and be that kind of mess that you so easily see in that organization, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's also that. It's as you are growing, it's an opportunity to say, yep, I'm not being asked to fix it. It's not my role to fix it. But huh, what would I do differently? What do I see? What have I just learned about why are they losing your clients when they brought you on 2 weeks ago? Like, what's that about? And how would you do things differently to make sure that a company that wouldn't be the case?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So when do you start at the new role?
Next Monday.
Monday?
Yeah. It's also going to be kind of crazy because it's like a tech startup. So it's an older tech startup though. It's been around for 8 years. So, but I feel way more excited by this company than the last one. So.
Well, I can't wait to hear how this progresses, this next phase of your career. And of course, it makes sense, Sarah, that you would be putting to the side your side hustle, the cash flow business that you are growing. And I feel like it's also just such a wonderful indication of the way you're setting this up to be building this business from a real place of strength. Not a place of desperation at all. You really can take time to think about what do you want it to look like, to think about what are the ideal ways that you would like to work with clients on helping them become stock market investors. You can browse to see what's out there, what is being offered, what will be my own spin on it. And really, what are the ways that I want to work with people that bring me joy versus, oh, how do I have to? What products do I have to offer? Really just, what do you want this to be and build it from that place?
Yeah.
Great. Great. So I would love to check in with you, Karen, and ask whether there was anything that we could talk about today around your business.
Thanks so much, Miata. This lovely interactive group, and I really was not prepared to be on camera today, so I apologize.
No problem. Don't worry
about it. But I'm happy to be here, and I just want to follow up on your coaching from last time about my rental property.
Yes.
And I sought out just some other advice from the manager that I'm going to be working with, and basically he said, "Oh, I'd take the cash." So I think that mm-hmm. was a vote of confidence.
Great.
Because it kept the property away from them for another month. It wasn't in his interest.
Exactly. So in other words, he really just said, this is what I would do. And mm-hmm. that allowed you to, it just as you said, gives you that vote of confidence that he is looking out for your interests, not his. Mm-hmm. But to me, what it also says is that he feels relatively confident in his ability to find you a tenant, even if that is 30 days later than what you had originally thought.
Right. So that was good. So then I was able to make that decision and just move forward from that. And I really appreciate your insight and the way that you laid it out for me really helped me know what the factors were. So right. I appreciate right. that so much. So thank you.
You're so welcome.
So I did have a question about my business. I sure. have my writing workshop that I've been doing. I've designed it to be a quarterly workshop now where there's 12-week segments. And so people can sign up for 12 weeks at a time. And I have a whole curriculum that I do for each of those seasons. And they have an option of staying on for a year if they want. And in the process of doing this, I've been recording teaching videos separately for them to watch at their own pace. But then we meet for an hour and a half for 9 sessions over these 12 weeks. And okay. those are live interactive classes where we write to prompts that are inspired by the teaching that I offered. And so one question I have is, I now have 12 of these videos. And so those are now an asset that I didn't have before.
Absolutely.
And what are some ways I can use these assets to structure other offerings or products?
That's great. I love this question. Okay, so first, I just want to, for the purposes of the recording, I want to clarify that you are a cash flow cat and you are a writer, a professional writer yourself, and you also coach other writers. Am I correct with all of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. So you right now have, what would you say are your primary offerings? Obviously you have these quarterly workshops, right? Mm-hmm. 12 weeks. So essentially you do those four times per year. And you are therefore enrolling people. Some choose to simply stay on, but essentially there are four periods a year when enrollment is essentially open, right? Because
right.
I can't join week four of
right.
one of the segments, right?
Yes.
Okay. And is this quarterly workshop, is this currently your highest priced offering, or is individual coaching your highest priced offering?
This would be the highest price in terms of a single investment.
Okay.
And then I do offer coaching, and I separated out my coaching to, if people are writing a shorter piece under 50 pages, that's either a longer essay or a longer short story, then mm-hmm. I will look at 10 pages at a time or 20 pages at a time. So I have pricing for that. And then if someone is doing a book length project, I realized it's not enough for me to see a small amount of pages. I need to see a bigger chunk, like 60 pages. And so I have a higher priced package where I will go over and do developmental editing on a 60 page chunk at a time, and then meet with them for an hour on Zoom. So
okay.
That to get that package is the same as this workshop, the same price.
For the 60 pages.
Right.
So you're doing the developmental editing, and they then get one-hour session to review those first, or whatever, that 60-page chunk.
Right.
Okay. And so presumably, if I were writing, I'm totally making this up, but if I were writing a 240-page book,
mm-hmm.
I would put, if I was thrilled with the process of working with you, I would put four of those packages together, and we would sort of go 60 pages by 60 pages.
Yes, it would be based on the page count, essentially, and that's how I've done it with other clients.
Okay.
So I have gone through an entire manuscript.
Okay. And so there isn't a price point for you and I are working together on this entire project, and like you don't have an offering like that at this point, where basically we take on the whole project and you provide a quote for, as well as guidelines for how that is going to work. That doesn't really exist in your offerings. It would go page count by, so sort of package by package, right?
Yes, I did that because it does. There's a couple of things in there. And so it's good you're digging toward this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I started working with someone where I realized, ooh, I'm not the right fit for this. And she gave me maybe up to 120 pages, and she wanted to keep going, but it just wasn't a good fit. So I recommended her to someone else. And then I've also done with this with people who are just delightful. So, and they seem to be okay with stair-stepping it like that. So mm-hmm. it's not a giant number. And then I also have still this mindset. This brings up another small question. That's a mindset question of, I've had a couple people, I have one person right now who's been doing my workshop and has been with me for a few years working on her book length memoir. And she's one of the people that say, I need a bigger discount because of my circumstances. I'm a teacher with low pay. She actually says, I'm a teacher living in a one bedroom apartment. And it's like, funny. That's funny. So am I.
Right.
And it's like, so, and she even sent an email saying, just cause I've already paid you X amount of money. Why can't you give me 5 hours of your time for the price of 1 hour?
Oh, goodness. Yes. Great. Oh, I love that she sent you that email, right? Because an opportunity for all of us to really look at this. So I want to start first with your first question. And this is great because there are a few things here that we can dive into. So I want to start first with your initial question so that we don't get go off track from that, which was, what can I do with this content, this asset that I have now created? And the reason, Karen, why I was diving into the ways that you are currently serving your clients mm-hmm. is because we always, to my mind, we always want to look holistically at mm-hmm. how new offerings fit into our businesses. Because I think as small business owners, it is very easy for us to fall into the trap of, oh, I'm going to offer this, and I'm going to offer that, and I'm going to offer mm-hmm. this other thing. Oh, and wait, why don't I also offer this, right?
Great.
And what that can very, very quickly lead to is just a real sense of overwhelm and burnout, because every product that we offer is going to require marketing from us.
Mm-hmm.
And as business owners, we already know that the work involved in actually sharing what it is that we do and bringing customers to what it is that we do, people who this is the right fit for, we know that that really requires a decent amount of our working time. Mm-hmm. So when you look at being a business owner, we are probably spending, or should probably be spending, at least 50% of our time sharing what it is that we do from a marketing perspective, and the other 50% of our time delivering what it is that we do. Mm-hmm. And that's at least. Some would argue that it probably needs to be a higher percentage in marketing, 60%, and then 40% in the actual delivering of the service. So when we think about, okay, how might this serve me as being an additional offering? We want to think about it from that perspective, which is that, yes, the upside is you've now got a new asset, but the full picture of that is that's now a new asset that also has to be sold. right? Mm-hmm. Also has to be marketed. So what we've spent the last few minutes doing is getting clarity around the structure of your business, which allows us to dive into how this new element might fit in. Mm-hmm. I love that you have a reason why you offer individual coaching the way you offer it. So hopefully everyone caught that what you shared is you have discovered that on a book project, sometimes it's not going to be the right fit. And taking on the entire project at the front end, really what that would be is that would be you saying, oh yes, absolutely. This is always the right fit. It's always mm-hmm. the right fit for me and it's always the right fit for the customer. And you as the expert are saying, no, that is never always the case. And the one thing that I want to stress here, Karen, and you may already be doing this, but I want to really stress that as you are marketing, it is so powerful to be very clear with people what differentiates you and why you work the way you work. So it isn't just that when I come to your website, I see that, oh, all right, I've got to calculate a certain number of pages, and then there's a price for those pages. And there's a reason why mm-hmm. you do that. And I just want to make sure, this may already be the case again, but I want to make sure that your marketing makes it clear why you do that. Because for me, that just actually hit me in a really positive way. Like, wow, when I am thinking about writing my book and I am evaluating different people, well, there's this person over here who's offering this single package and they're saying, yes, we're going to do the whole book together. But wow, it never occurred to me, what if we're not actually the right fit? What if this isn't actually the right person for this project? And now I've invested this probably significant sum mm-hmm. at the start. So do you see what I'm saying? That I yes. just feel this is something that you can very part. Why do I work this way? I work mm-hmm. this way because it's right. important. So I'm hoping that that is helpful for you to consider as yes. you are marketing your individualized coaching packages. This is also where I think it does fit now to go on a bit of a sideline for a moment to talk about our pricing mm-hmm. and people's feelings about our pricing, that it is not your job to take on their feelings about mm-hmm. your pricing. The important thing is always you having total clarity around why you price the way you price, the value that is being offered, the value of your time, what people get for working with you. This mm-hmm. is always when we get emails like that from clients, man, is this an opportunity for us to be even stronger in this is what you have chosen to do. This is the way you have chosen to be of service. Here you are, not just a business owner. You are a business owner who has invested probably an incalculable amount of time and money in your own education, in your own growth as a writer. You have invested countless hours and money in growing as a teacher, as a coach. You continue, look at the fact that you're here. You continue to invest in your education, in your determination of how you are going to price your offerings, in what allows you to build a sustainable business model that allows mm-hmm. you to continue to be of service. And Karen, no one's feelings about your pricing have anything to do with that. So this client, as will many clients, this client has their own work to do. They have their own work to do on their financial situation. They have their own work to do on how they are earning. They have their own work to do on the creative projects that they're committed to doing and to putting out in the world and to hopefully utilizing to generate income. And they are coming to you for your skill and ability and service in a particular part of their journey. Mm-hmm. And that particular part of their journey is your support in the creation of this book. That's the part that they have chosen to come to you for. And you have the ability to help them. You are happy to help them. And you have an established way of working with them.
Mm-hmm.
What I want for all of us to always consider as business owners is, let's please imagine a world where what we offer as business owners is offered based on each client's ability, I put in quotes, to pay us. Each client's individual personal situation. Karen, would that be remotely sustainable?
Oh, I know. that's what it felt like she was asking me to do. And the mindset issue came up when she was saying, look, I've already given you X amount, this much money. You know, now I need a little bit back from you. You know, it had that kind of flavor to it. And it's like, well, what about, were you not getting value, or what was going on there?
Yeah.
It's like she suddenly got the bill or something, but she had, that wasn't the case.
Yes. And that is her mindset, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's her mindset. That's, and her, what I'm going to call, because it's tied to her mindset, her manipulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is that, oh, there have likely been people in her life, because this is how we all develop our mindsets, right? We develop our mindsets based on how we have been responded to, right?
Mm-hmm.
We develop our mindsets based on our experiences as we walk through this world. those of us who choose to take on mindset work, we really understand that our mindsets aren't real. They're not like the way that we're thinking about something isn't the right way or the wrong way. It's just the particular way that our experience has led us to think about certain things. And then we get to decide whether that mindset is serving us or not. And so in this client's case, and she's certainly not alone, right? There's probably not a single business owner that hasn't gotten this in some form repeatedly. But in her case, she has absolutely taken on the mindset, which is that she is owed more than just whatever it is that she actually paid for. She paid for a service which you did or didn't deliver, right? And of course, I know you did, but that is always actually what is so. We engage someone or an entity for a particular service and we pay for that. And they either deliver that service or they don't deliver that service. And we get to have an opinion about whether the service was delivered or not delivered. And then we get to evaluate, you know, what were the terms in which the service was offered? And do I have grounds in which to say you didn't actually deliver what was offered? And so I'd like a refund or I'd like this to be addressed in some way. But those elements are actually clear. In this case, she paid for a particular service. She isn't actually saying you didn't give me what you said you would. What she's actually saying is, I want more for what I pay, right? And she has this mindset, perhaps for, you know, many reasons that we don't have the information to determine, but presumably sometimes that works, right? She tells the service provider, no, no, I want more. I want more than we ever discussed. I want to be further along for this money. And so I would like more. And presumably sometimes that has worked. But your role, your job, all of our jobs as the business owner is to be very clear on what it is we offer and at what price point. And then to recognize when someone is asking for something that wasn't ever included in what you were offering. Do you have the choice? Of course, we always exist in choice, but this is where the pain cycle and power cycle come in. Because the question would be, what would be the reason for deciding to give this person more hours for no additional money? And if the reason is that you feel bad, the reason is that this person, you know, is really struggling, my coaching to you would be, is that a decision that's being made from emotion rather than from clarity? If you said, you know, this actually has been a very long-term client and the results that they are getting really are a powerful endorsement of the work that I do. And I am open to the possibility of some negotiation around what this person might be able to do to assist the growth of my business and to do a very clear exchange of an additional hour or two in return for a lengthy testimonial video or something of that kind, that would always be a decision that as a business owner, you might decide to make. But that's very different from they want more. And you are, more is not a part of the agreement that you have in place.
And so that's so great, Miata. I love all that. And so what would you say is a graceful and definitive response to these types of requests?
Yeah. So one thing that I sometimes feel, right, because when we get them, these kinds of requests, it helps us do this work, right? And it helps us start to formulate. And so then the question is, how do we reduce needing to have this conversation over and over and over again? So this does, again, tie into the previous discussion we were having about the way that you speak about what it is that you do, because marketing is so important. And a part of marketing is being very clear about these are the kinds of people that I work with, and these are the ways, like as a shopper, as someone who's looking, I want you to really understand who I am and what I take a stand for. And so one of the things that might really be added to your website is a paragraph about your pricing, right? Mm-hmm. And in that paragraph, you or paragraphs, you might talk about why do I work with people on these page count segments, right? And you might talk about how if you are looking for someone to work with you on your book, on your memoir, on your script, you have likely encountered people who, you know, it's a, here's the fee. And I choose to work differently, and this is why, right? Might you discover that our totals are comparable when you add up the page, you know, all of this I'm making up, Karen, and you would refine this, right? But might you find that our totals are comparable? Yes, probably, right? And I love and often work with people on their entire projects, right? However, what I also believe is that it is very possible for us to get incredible results on the first half of your manuscript to then discover that there might be a better fit to finish it. Right? Or right. In other words, you would figure out what the most powerful way. But then to me, a part of this page that is why you price the way you price would also be to say, I understand that it is not a tiny investment to decide to work with a coach like me. I understand that it is a significant decision, right? Having done it myself and worked with coaches, all of that. And I want you to know and trust that when I work with the clients that I work with, they get all of me, or however you say that, right? That you get my commitment to your project. You get every session that we have. And as I review your pages, you are getting my best advice and guidance and coaching. You would make all of this sound great.
Mm-hmm.
And please know that my pricing reflects that. And so I don't offer discounts or I don't offer additional discounts beyond the pricing that is laid out here on this site. And if you are not ready or able to take advantage of this kind of personal one-on-one work, I have group and, now it's where the initial question came in, digital programs available at a cost that may be a better fit for this stage of your project development, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, what I would really, and I feel like you're absolutely headed strongly in this direction. I want you to be very, very clear around this is how writers get to work with Karen. This is how they get to work with you. This is not, if they want to work in a different way, then they don't get to work with Karen, right? You are not the right coach for them and they are not the right client for you, okay? There are people, I'm just using this as an example, who would like to hire me for a single coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot. They can't. Could I earn money that way? I could, but I don't choose to. That is mm-hmm. not how people get to work with me. Why? Because I don't believe that I will serve them well in that way. There are coaches who people can go pay to work with one time. I don't know or believe that that works particularly well, but they can find those people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we all want to stand in power around how we choose to work with people and to actually make that a part of our marketing. So mm-hmm. people can work with you in these powerful quarterly workshops, right? They can choose to, I don't know if this is so, but it seems to me that they can choose to sign on for an entire year and maybe there is a price adjustment if they choose to do that, right? They can work with you on their manuscripts, and that is individualized, both your work on the manuscript itself and your time with them discussing the changes you suggest, the places they might go next. And again, because of what you believe about the relationship between coach and writer, the way that they work with you on their manuscript is based on a page count, and there's a process for each page count, right? Mm-hmm. Each set of pages. And that is another way that they get to work with you. And there is an established price for that, just like there is an established price for the quarterly workshop. Mm-hmm. So then, to me, the opportunity that you have as you are continuing to develop these quarterly workshops and to develop the recordings is to put together a digital package that is another way that people can work with you. This would be a course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would define, what does this course do? I, writer, am here, and these are all of the things that are common that you would describe as my point A, and where does working through this course take me? What is the goal of this digital course? You could easily decide to add value by doing quarterly Ask Me Anything sessions for those who have purchased the digital course, right? Mm-hmm. And you could decide to make those recordings available on a purchase page for the digital course. This is the kind of thing that could one day lead to some sort of membership for mm-hmm. writers, right? That includes the digital course as a foundation, but also has a certain number of monthly offerings, right? Again, not necessary, just a possibility for where this could lead. But to me, I am thinking that if I look at your business structure, you would have your all the free things that you do at the top, and that, you know, I am aware you have a newsletter and you really educate your audience through your newsletter, and that's free. Then potentially what you would be filling in is a digital offering at a price point that allows someone to do it themselves kind of thing. And that would be a price point, you know, that would be kind of that lower level. Again, there would have to be a lot more conversation about ultimately what you would charge for this, because I'm not talking about underpricing it. But mm-hmm. then at the next level, we have these quarterly workshops, this idea to be much more hands-on. There are 9 interactive classes offered over the 12 weeks. They also get the digital classes as a part of that. And so that would be your next price point. And at the bottom of the funnel, this is the highest level. This is me and Karen one-on-one. This is Karen's in-depth evaluation of my pages. That would be really the highest cost offering. And that's the offering at that level. Anyone who isn't ready or doesn't have the financial ability to operate at that level, there are other ways that they get to work with you, right? Mm-hmm. But when we have that clarity, and this ties into the conversation we were having with Sarah, we're not empathetic people. Of course, you know yourselves, right? We all have some level of experience with the challenges that she is describing. And your business, it's not the role of your business to save this person. That is not your business. You can feel for her. you can build the muscles that we all as business owners have to build of not taking on that guilt as a part mm-hmm. of our journey. But feeling for her versus changing your structure for her. Mm-hmm. And then sort of the last thing that I would say about this is you can choose to write her an email and to utilize the email that you write her as the development of what is actually going to go on your website. So mm-hmm. that in the future, you can have an assistant reply to these kinds of emails with an email that points them and says, obviously, Karen cares deeply about all of the writers that she works with. However, as I'm sure you understand, the way that she is able to be of service is by having a sustainable business. And so I would refer you to this page where she shares in her own words how the pricing structure for the business is determined, right? And be prepared to let that person go.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that, yeah, that is kind of the throwdown about it. It's, mm-hmm. and, but that sounds very good to have copy for the assistant to send out. And I mean, that's nice to look forward to.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I also, you know, I want to give everybody a little bit of a business tip, which is that you can start to create some emotional distance between you and your clients, even before the business is at the place where you are able to bring on an official assistant. And so what is very possible is that your business can reply to client inquiries and requests, not as you, even mm-hmm. though you may be the actual person at this point sending those letters. One of the things I wish is that long before we had a team and uh-huh. had people who actually are our client relationship managers, I wish that I had built those roles. So even if Miata is actually playing the roles,
uh-huh.
the people don't have to actually know that. So there was an earlier cash flow session, Karen, when I was reviewing it, where I believe I remember you talking about all the different roles that you were filling right. in your business. And one of the things that I think is really helpful, particularly in these kind of emotionally trickier places, is, Karen, you don't have to be, sorry, the client relationship manager. Who is he or she going to be, right? Is Donna going to be your client relationship okay. manager for now, right? And can you write the email that would come from Donna, right? Because it is important to start to create that distance. If you're uncomfortable making up a person, then it can come from, what's the name of your business?
These workshops are Visionary Writing Masterclass.
Right. So it can come from the Visionary Writing team, right? You can have an email. I really recommend this. Whatever the uh-huh. website is, pay the very small amount of money to have an email address that is info at, you know, visionary writing, or if you want to, assistant at, or support at. And because it'll be easier for you, I think, to start to create a little bit of emotional distance from these things. And I also think you start to build what is very important, which is that your clients see you as exactly what you are, which is the writing expert, the coach that they have chosen to support them in their journey. You are not their therapist. You're not there. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
We know how easy it is. I connect with you. You're helping me write. You're changing my, you're helping me strengthen my vision of the work that I'm putting out in the world. And I really like, I feel very connected to you and grateful to you. And I want you to understand what I'm struggling with also in my life. And I want, oh boy, like, wow, yeah. we gotta create, because you're, in addition to being an amazing writing coach, you're a person who cares. So do you see how we can all start to get very enmeshed in ways that aren't healthy for either of us? For you to serve me the best as a writing coach, you need to be firmly in that role.
Right. Oh, so helpful, Miata. Oh my God, this is so fantastic. I can't wait for this recording to listen back.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And definitely, look, I bring the draft.
Okay.
Post the draft in the cash flow group of the community. These are the, let people give feedback. These are such important areas for all of us to strengthen, and at every stage of our businesses. So you're, as a cash flow cat, you're further on in your business. And now there's some things that it's like, oh yeah, I need that. Oh yeah, I need language about that, right? And great, like, we don't wait to get it all perfect before we launch. As we are delivering our service, we're going to make some discoveries. Oh yeah, people want things to be free. Right? And so now you go back and you do that. And I think use the community as much as possible to refine and strengthen that language. I encourage you to really be you. Share from your heart why you price the way you price, and stand behind it, because that'll help you just keep strengthening. Yeah, this is why I price the way I price, and I absolutely stand behind it, right?
Great. Yes. That, I know, it's so funny, because as things develop, there's like an entrepreneur joke of like, well, that's going in the FAQ.
Yeah. You know, we
find the answers come before the questions. That's for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I like websites. Everybody handles it differently, but like, I like websites where the FAQs are largely the kind of technical, how does this work? And, you know, those kinds of questions. I think that authentic marketing, really, I connect to marketing that really says, yes, here's the package and here's my price for the package. And by the way, here's why, right? Mm-hmm. That I connect with that. And I want to just also take this opportunity to share that our June mastery guest is someone who I would call an advertising guru. Her name is Laura Eastburn. And she really focuses on making marketing human, right? Mm. Real. And diving into some of the shame we carry around, speaking about what we do. So I'm excited about that for the entire financial empowerment community, but also particularly for our cash flow members, because I think it's such an important part of what we do.
Great. Thank you. When is she coming?
So it is, the June calendar has been updated. She is going to be during our, what would have been our Wednesday management Q&A. So she's going to be at 10 a.m. Pacific on Wednesday, June 22nd, because it was tough. Her calendar is very booked. And then we'll do that Q&A the following week on the 29th. So if you pull up your calendar, you'll see those updates now.
Okay, great. Oh, this was so helpful, Miata. I'm so happy I had this chance to speak with you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you for coming, Sarah and Karen and Kate, and a great conversation. And I really look forward to being able to have these conversations with you guys throughout the month of June. Have a great rest of last couple hours of your weekend, and I will see you all very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Miata.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye.